Morning, church. Okay, today we're reading from the Gospel of Luke, and it's going to be Luke chapter 5. So hopefully you should all have Bibles with you, but if not, we're going to have it displayed in the back as well. But Luke chapter 5, if you've got one of these Bibles, it's page 1184. We'll be reading from the New King James Version. So we'll start up verses 1 to 7, and then we'll move to verses 27 to 32. So verses 1 to 7. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he'd stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." And when they'd done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Verse 27. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "What do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Helen. We've been blessed to share our love with Prof. Dave from the college, and today we also are blessed to have as our guest speaker Dr. Mike Burgess. We call him Mike or Dr. Mike. Mike is a graduate of Denver Seminary and has also achieved his doctorate with the University of South Africa, and is currently still involved in lecturing at the Theological College of Zimbabwe, and is involved very much at East Hill Bible College. It's a joy to have Mike be our guest speaker on this day. Mike, let's welcome Mike as he comes to share God's word with us. Thank you, Mike.
I can't remember. In chapter 5, did we read up to verse 11?
I think so.
Okay. I think we did. Hey? Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's what I wanted. All right. We're going to be talking this morning about the kingdom challenge, or the challenge of being in the kingdom. Now, the passage we read this morning had to do with Jesus beginning to gather his band of disciples to follow him. And basically what he was doing was asking them to drop their professions and take on the profession of being a follower, a disciple of Jesus, and ultimately to be a promoter of the kingdom of God. And that's how we're going to be looking at this passage this morning, where Jesus was calling his disciples. He had asked the fishermen to drop everything. And then, of course, later on we read where he also called Levi. Now, these aren't the only disciples. There's other passages where he called the other disciples. But what we're going to be looking at this morning is the kingdom of God aspect to all of this. We're not going to be focusing on, well, Jesus wants us to do evangelism, because we know that. We know Jesus wants us to do evangelism and mission. But what I would, and that's what we get from this passage as well, but what I want to focus on is what we see about the kingdom of God in all of this. Why is it that they were happy enough to follow Jesus? Why just drop everything and, okay, fine, I will follow you? What was it? Now, to be a Christian is to enter into the challenge that God sets before us. And the disciples that he called faced this challenge. Now, Satan wants to water down our Christian experience and purpose. Satan wants to come to us and say, you know, there's nothing much to being Christian at all. Don't get so excited about following Jesus. He wants to downplay it. However, God wants to intensify our experience. He wants to do the opposite. God, and by normally when I say God, I mean Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you understand. When I say God, I'm thinking Trinity. God wants to intensify everything in our spiritual walk. Satan wants to do the opposite. But when God intensifies our Christian experience, that means we are participating in the kingdom of God. Now, the training that the Bible College students went through, that was not just to pass the time or simply to have fun. That training was a preparation time to be effective ministers and fishers of people in the kingdom of God. And being fishers of men, by the way, doesn't just mean getting people saved. It also means mentoring them afterwards. It means growing them up in the faith. We all have to be grown up in the faith. We will continue to be grown up in the faith even in heaven. That's going to be exciting. Now, what is this kingdom all about? Well, first of all, the kingdom is our priority. We're going to be seeing the kingdom is our priority, the kingdom is our purpose, and the kingdom is our power. Priority. We all have priorities: money, work, power, friendship, comfort, you name it. There's a whole list of priorities that we can talk about. But what is the highest priority? Well, obviously, the expected answer is God. He should be our highest priority. After that should come people, and then after that, perhaps things. But God, people, things. But our mindset, our normal mindset, even as Christians, is to relegate God simply to, you know, the spiritual part of our life. You know, let's get on with the day, busy living our life and doing what we have to do. Oh, yes, Sunday's coming. Let me start getting spiritual now. Let me start thinking about God again. No, it doesn't work that way. To be spiritual is to live 24/7. To be spiritual is to live in the kingdom of God every second of the week. Why? Because God is our existential priority. He is our reason for living, our raison d'être. In reality, then, all of our life is spiritual, and God is intensely interested in everything about our lives. When God told Abraham to kill Isaac, what did Abraham think? We can never really imagine what went through his mind. Isaac was a miracle child. And he was supposed to bear a part in human history. God had promised to Abraham, you know, Isaac's going to be used in a wonderful, mighty way in the kingdom of God. But what did Abraham do? He obeyed God. He subdued his own thoughts and prioritized God. So God was his priority. When God speaks, everybody listens. There used to be a commercial in the States when I was at Bible college there. I can't remember who it was, but it said, when what's his name speaks, everybody listens. It was some product. But in our case, when God speaks, we listen. When God speaks, we listen. Now, the disciples then listened to God through Jesus Christ and abandoned what they were doing and followed Christ. The kingdom had become their prime reality, so the kingdom became their priority. But second, the kingdom is our purpose. We are creatures that need purpose. Without the purpose, we flounder. We can become haphazard. Without purpose, we can become lazy. Purpose creates goals that we can work towards. And for Christians, our life purpose is in the fact that we are children of light and we are truth bearers. We are to shine out the light of Christ into the darkness of the world. We have this light. The world is so dark that the people in the world don't realize that they're walking in darkness. That's how dark they are. They are oblivious to the reality of the kingdom of God. We are to open up the kingdom. We are to open up the doors and show people, look, come inside and see Jesus. And the first place they see Jesus, of course, is in our lives. But they also need to hear Jesus with our words. We can't say, well, we will do mission simply by our lives. No, mission also needs words. We need to speak, verbalize the gospel message. So the kingdom is our purpose. Truth bearers and children of light. We have the truth. We've been blessed with the truth. Now, it doesn't matter what our career is, whether we are, whatever our work is, when we're thinking about the political scenario, sport, medicine, schooling, entertainment, whatever it is, we have to be reflecting Christ and doing the kingdom of God, shining out the kingdom of God. In other words, shining out Jesus. The disciples were willing to drop everything to follow Christ, as you were reading there. That's what the fishermen were ready to do. Why? Because the purpose of Jesus became their purpose. The purpose of Jesus became their purpose. Can we say this morning that God's purpose is our purpose? Because God has a purpose. God is not haphazard. God is organized. God is creative at the same time. And in his creativity, God has chosen to use us in his kingdom. Why does God choose to use us? He would do the job much better on his own. Why use us? Well, he does. And we could have a whole series of messages on why God uses us. Now, that doesn't mean we stop living. To serve God is to live better. To serve God is actually to live. Finally, the kingdom is our power. We need training and equipment to do God's will. We've received in our training what God wants us to know. We can go through a certain period of training, you know, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, fine. Now we say to ourselves, well, that training is finished. But in one sense, it never finishes. We are always training. And it takes a lifetime to learn how to serve God. We don't learn how to serve God immediately. It takes forever to learn how to serve God. We will even be serving God in heaven. What will we be doing? Good question. I've got no idea. But we'll be doing service with God in heaven. The kingdom is our power. To do this, we need power. And training equips us. It empowers us. But also, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit in the gifts that he gives us and by a personal communion with God in prayer and in the study of his divine revelation. Thus empowered, we will become confident in our witness. We will be able to put the pebble in the sling and go outside and face up to Goliath. So the kingdom power of Jesus is ours. The kingdom then is our priority. It's our purpose. It's our power. And just as the fishermen were amazed at the message or the obvious power of the kingdom when they had to drop the fishing nets and how they caught so much fish that the boats began to sink. This was power taking place. This was the kingdom that was in operation. It was supernatural. Well, the supernatural is in us. The supernatural being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are with them. They are with us. The kingdom of the Trinity, the kingdom of God is in us and for us. So this morning we've looked at the priority, the purpose, the power of being the kingdom. We need to examine our lives. Are we part-time Christians or are we full-time Christians? In Zimbabwe, when I was preaching in a church in one of the rural areas, we used to speak to the workers on the farm. And one of the laborers came and said, "Well, you won't see me for 2 months. I'm taking a holiday from God." I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Taking a holiday from God. No, people, we never take a holiday from God. God never takes a holiday from us. So why should we even think like that? No, are we full-time or part-time Christians? The obvious expectation, we should be full-time. We must engage with the challenge that God places before us. To be Christian is to define ourselves. We must put our life and the training that the graduates have gone through, but for all of us, put this training to divine use. But above all, be prepared for satanic opposition. Satan is going to oppose, but we have the victory. Amen.
Amen. Isn't that precious? The kingdom, the priority, the power of God. And as we continue with that thought now, I'm going to invite, I think it would be great today if we could invite our two profs, Michael and Dave, if that's all right. Come and share with us on the table, would you?